Hi, Teddy.
Hi.
We're going to we'll open it up here for some questions. Go ahead, guys.
Hey, hello, everyone.
Hi, Teddy. And this is Byron Barnett, Channel 7. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Great. Doing well. What's up, Byron?
First of all, I just want to ask you two things. Just could you talk about what this means to you being selected for this honor?
Well, I think it means I'm getting older. 1996 was a long time ago, but it's great for me to be able to go back. You know, this is a team that I only played for one team my entire career, and I'm very proud to say that. And it was the New England Patriots. So, be named honorary captain in their biggest game of the season, I'm flattered.
And can I ask you, most of the teams, the vast majority of the guys on this team have never played in a game like this. They've never played in an AFC championship. I guess any words of advice or inspiration you can offer to these young guys?
Yes, experience doesn't matter. I was a rookie in 96. You know, we had a good crop of rookies on that team with myself and Lawyer Malloy, Terry Glenn, and we had some prominent roles on that team, and we contributed in ways where the experience didn't matter, and we helped getting that team, the 96 team, to the Super Bowl. So it's the same thing with them. It could be an advantage that they just don't know better right now, and that can help out. And up to this point, I think them getting the monkey off of their back of not winning a playoff game in recent years, being bounced on their home field, I think that was like a relief for them. And now I think they're really playing free, and I think they'll show that on Sunday.
Teddy, what have your impressions been? I know you know him probably pretty well, but what are your impressions of Gerard Mayo, and has he kind of developed and progressed the way you thought you would the way you thought he would when you left?
Oh, well, there are a couple of players I look along the linebacking core in terms of their progression, but Gerard came in and, you know, you knew he had the ability. What's impressed me most about him is that his flexibility and how many things he does so well. At such a young, early point in his career, to play a 3-4 linebacker and a 4-3 linebacker on a down-to-down basis, it's a very difficult thing to do. And a lot of his responsibility is getting everyone lined up and communicated. And then after that, he has to worry about his progression of things to look at, to key, and then make plays from there. So it can be tiresome, but he's handled it very well. Rob Ninkovich, I think, is also one of those players that aren't talked about that, you know, he needs to be mentioned as one of the stars on that defensive unit. Just continues to make big plays. You think he's going to make a big play and fade away, but he doesn't. He's just there every single week doing something significant. And also with Spikes coming back, having that Brian Cox type of Ted Johnson run stuffer that when going straight ahead, I mean, he is going to hit somebody. I think that trio of players at the linebacking unit has really done well for that defensive unit.
Teddy, you are the third of four honorary captains to be named here. You're joining Troy Brown and Ty Law. Who rounds out this group? Who's the fourth guy in your mind? And if you had a vote, who would you vote to have you guys join you out there midfield?
Well, that's a difficult question because I believe it's the two teams are celebrated, the 1996 team and the 2001 team. And I think the list is small of players that were on both, I believe. It might have been 10. But there can't be a wrong selection because to be a member of both of those teams, you had to lose a Super Bowl, and then you had to come back and break through and win the first. And mentally, that's tough to do, to just in general, to deliver a franchise, their first ever Super Bowl championship. I'm here at Bristol right now at ESPN in between shows, and I've got my ring on from the 2001 team because, you know, it's probably the team that I'm most proud of, the one that broke through to start a tradition that this team here, this recent team, is upholding, the tradition of winning football games. I'm very proud, but there can't be, I can't choose. It's too difficult. You're asking me too difficult a question.
How about Drew Bledsoe?
The strong relationships from Ted Johnson that I mentioned, the lawyer Malloy, who was on both teams, Drew Bledsoe was on both teams. I mean, there's so many great choices that can be made.
Okay.
Teddy, it's Mark Farinella. Are you going to have to fight back an urge to make the call whenever they flip the coin out there? Because I know you used to do that a lot.
I might, Farinella. I'm so excited to do it. I mean, the last time I was there, and last time I saw a game there was the Jet game, and it was 45-3. And maybe, you know, hopefully, I bring a little luck along with me.
So would you defer or what?
My oldest son will come.
That sounds good.
Will join me. He's excited to see the game. Also, he's become a big Patriots fan. So. The Bruce family is very honored.
Teddy, would you defer or what?
I'd defer. I would.
Teddy, thinking back to that 2001 team, does it seem almost like a flip now when you look at the Patriots, the offense, how good it is, almost reminiscent of that greatest show Rams offense, and how poised do you think these guys are with Tom playing the way he is with his weapons to go win it all?
Yeah, it's from the 2001 team to now, guys. You've seen that offense evolve. You've seen that team evolve to where early on, defense and special teams were carrying a quarterback that was developing, and now it's the other way around. The quarterback is fully developed, and he is who he has become. One of the best that many have ever seen. So, offensively. I think that every player in that huddle looks to Tom and see, and the words that come out of his mouth, they believe it'll work, no matter what he says, no matter what play he calls. And I think they all know that you get open, you'll get the ball. If you're not open, I'm going somewhere else. And that gives it an incredible amount of accountability to say that, well, if you're not open, you're not going to get the ball. And I know that, so I'm going to do what I can to be a target for him and be dependable.
From somebody who was on the team in 96, which was kind of, I guess, well, 5 years before, I guess, that dynastic run that you guys went on, what have been your impressions of the way this organization has completely flipped itself around since the early 90s?
Man, there's no word to use except for impressive about making the right decisions at all levels. Mr. Kraft and his decisions to build up the area, the new stadium in Patriot Place, and bring in Coach Belichick. Of course, I was there with Coach Parcells and Coach Carroll, and then Coach Belichick coming in. And then the decisions that Coach Belichick has made to which players come in, which players stay for a long time, which players you cut ties with, and when to cut ties with them. He's made the toughest of decisions. And I admire him for that, because a lot of head coaches or general managers, you know, they won't make those tough decisions that he makes. So all the way down to quarterbacks and kickers making decisions on what they do and how they play. It's really been a pleasure to be a part of. And now even looking at it from an analytical point of view, it's nice to see them continuing the way that they've been.
Hey, Teddy, it's Shalice.
Hi, Shalice.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
The Tuck Rule game was 10 years ago today. What are your memories of that game? Obviously, it was kind of a watershed moment for this organization.
Yes, I mean, you know, sometimes it's amazing what you can take with how a game goes and turn it into something special, and not just one championship, but a run that still hasn't ended. And that game was the beginning. I remember after that play, waiting in the snow for Walt Coleman to come out and give us his ruling, talking to Tim Brown on the field, because when replays are being discussed, players will talk to the other players on the other sideline, on the other side of the ball, and watch the replay and argue about, oh man, this or that. You know, it was a fumble. It wasn't a fumble, but I was talking to Tim Brown. And I said, Tim, I think that's the Tuck Rule. And we had a little discussion about that, and I brought up the moment. I think it was earlier in that season with Kurt Warner. We might have lost a strip sack fumble or something like that, but little stories like that to the game. Working with Jerry Rice here now, I remember, you know, hitting him in the back and putting his face mask in the snow during that game. But that's one of the games that'll never be forgotten. And every time an anniversary like this comes around, you'll talk about it. But the one overwhelming thought I had during those kicks also, I think people forget about, is we had Dick Rabine pass away early in that season, and I thought about him a bunch that game, that maybe someone upstairs was looking out for us.
Do you feel that way this year with Mrs. Kraft passing in July?
Good point. Yes, definitely I do. I do, and there's a story for you. I was watching the Giant game with my wife and sons at home, and as the Giants are winning the game, and and you know what the potential is there, I looked to my wife and said, "Honey, I don't know if I can deal with this for 2 weeks." reliving 07, having to talk about it here at ESPN. But the more I thought about it, I said, "Babe, that's the way I think it should be." And I think that I said that because I think that's the way Myra would have wanted it. And as I choked up a little bit talking to her about it, because sometimes you sit back and think about it's ironic how the way things work out sometimes, Shalice.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about Mrs. Kraft a bunch this year. She was so special to me, and that's my prediction this week. It'll be a Patriots New York Giants rematch in the Super Bowl.
Teddy, getting back to the 96 game, you've won a number of championships with the team, but what was special about that year, it was the first time that the Patriots had won a championship at home in front of their own fans. Can you talk about the significance of not just winning a championship, but doing it here in front of the fans and sharing it with the fans?
Yeah, there's that old Foxborough Stadium, such a nostalgic feeling of that stadium you always got. And even I think it was playing in the game before that, the Frog Bowl, I think it was against the Steelers, I think, when Terry Glenn went deep the first play. Sorry if I'm incorrect, but I think that's what I remember. But playing in front of them and winning that way, you knew what they were doing in that stadium. You know, they had to deal with those bathrooms. I mean, all the players knew. I mean, all the players' wives had to be up there too. They had to deal with the bleachers. They had to deal with the bathroom. You knew what kind of facility it was, but you looked around and they were there. They were always there. They were close. They were on top of you, and they could voice their opinions, and you could hear every word. But it felt good knowing that they cared so much. And how badly they treated us sometimes when we lost. I like that because it showed how much passion they had. So to be able to give them signature victories like that against the Jaguars and of course, this is finishing out Foxborough Stadium the way we did versus the Raiders. But you wanted to do that for them because you just always felt that they were there with you in that place.
Ted, you talked before about this run not having ended. Can you talk about how Tom is carrying on your legacy and the idea? Is there an anecdote that shows how badly he burns to continue winning championships here?
Man, he's just... I think the best story about how competitive Tom Brady is and how it's never enough for him. And I think a lot of us were that way early on. Myself, Troy Brown, Tom Brady, a lot of guys that people just didn't expect much from, that felt that you always had something to prove. Even when you had a lot of success achieved, it was still wasn't enough. And I remember my only Pro Bowl that I played in was after the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and we were waiting in the locker room. All of the Pro Bowl participants from the Patriots, so I think it was me, Vinatieri, Izzo, Brady. And guys, seriously, we still had confetti in our pockets from the parade. I mean, the celebration and the euphoric feeling we had from the Super Bowl still was there. And before we went out to be introduced as the Super Bowl champions, the representatives of the Super Bowl champions, the last introduction of the Pro Bowl, because that's what they did. They waited till they let the winners of the Super Bowl be introduced last. We're there alone in the locker room, and Tom Brady looks to all of us and says, "No one's ever won three in a row, guys." And it was sort of just a hanging thought. He looked at all of us like, this is what I want, and this is the goal. And we all looked at him and said, come on, Tom. It was like, take a break, you know? Take a little bit of a break and enjoy it. I was sort of in disbelief that he was already there. He was already thinking about what was next, and that's just a little story about his competitive drive and how it was and how he ended up just taking it to the next level and still has it there right now.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Teddy.
Thanks, Teddy.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Teddy.
Thanks for taking the time, Teddy.